Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about Sri Lanka. If you've been following the channel, you'll know that we've been covering Sri Lanka over the last couple of months, and the situation there is now dire. It is at breaking point. They are out of currency, out of fuel, out of food, out of medicine, and out of luck. So they really need some help right now. And they've applied to the IMF for a bailout facility. So in today's video, I'll provide you with a very brief recap as to how Sri Lanka got itself into the situation it's in. We'll then have a look at the IMF proposal, the deal that Sri Lanka is looking to agree with them. There's been some ongoing discussions, so we'll talk about that. And there's also been some reforms that the IMF have requested, so we'll have a look at exactly what's been implemented. I'll then give you an update on the latest inflation figures, which have been released for May. We'll have a look at what's going on with regards to medicine, fuel and food. And then finally today, I'll finish up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen in Sri Lanka over the next 3 to 6 months and what the impact of all of this is on the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content. And also, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. I'm on that big push for 100,000 subscribers, getting closer, but still quite a long way to go. And don't forget, I always include chapters. So if there's a section that you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip over it. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look in the description below where you'll find links to Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon and YouTube Super Thanks feature. Sri Lanka has a population of around 22 million people and is an island that's situated off the south coast of India. The main resources that Sri Lanka has are its land and its people. It doesn't have a lot of valuable raw materials that the rest of the world wants to buy, so it relies upon low labour manufacturing, mainly of textiles and clothing, and also the export of tea from its plantations, which are a legacy from the time when it was part of the British Empire. Sri Lanka is a beautiful island with lots of interesting wildlife, and historically tourism was a big revenue generator for the country. However, COVID dealt a devastating blow to the tourist industry in 2020 and 2021. And alongside that devastating impact, the president who was elected in 2019 made a number of mistakes that have led the country to the brink of bankruptcy. And they included reducing a variety of taxes in the country and banning the use of chemical fertilizers. So the combination of all of those factors left Sri Lanka in a very perilous state at the start of 2022. And the war in Ukraine has been the final straw for the country because they import large amounts of food and fuel. And if you've been following the channel, you'll know full well that the price of food and fuel has risen dramatically since the start of the Ukraine crisis. We have seen an increase of at least 50% in all of the key commodities that Sri Lanka buys in. As a result of these price increases, Sri Lanka has now completely run out of currency and no longer has any cash to buy in food and fuel. And over the last couple of months, it's been relying upon charity from India and China, both of whom have been providing lines of credit and supplying it with essential basics to keep the country ticking over. But this situation can't go on much longer, and Sri Lanka has now applied to the IMF for a bailout loan facility. Before we get into the details of Sri Lanka's request to the IMF and the ongoing negotiations, I thought it'd be useful and interesting to talk about how the IMF is structured and how each of the member states operates within it. The IMF currently has 189 members, so these are individual countries, all of whom are committed to providing cash to help out the rest of the world. Funding for the IMF operates on a quota system, and each member country is allocated a specific quota, which is calculated based upon how wealthy that country is. When a country joins the IMF, it's assigned an initial quota, which is broadly comparable to the economic size and characteristics of that country. The IMF uses a quota formula to assess a member's relative position. The current quota formula is a weighted average of gross domestic product. This is given a 50% weighting. Openness of the country, which is given a 30% weighting. Economic variability, 15% weighting. And the international reserves of that nation, which is given a 5% weighting. The largest member of the IMF currently is the United States, that has a quota equivalent to $118 billion. The smallest member is Tuvalu, with a quota of around $3.5 million. When a member joins the IMF, it has to pay its subscription quota in full. And this payment is split 25% in US dollars, euros, Japanese yen, British pounds, or Chinese yuan. And the rest can be paid in the member's own currency. The size of each member's quota also has a direct link to that member's voting power in IMF decision making. In terms of access to financing, each member of the IMF can borrow up to 145% of its quota per year, or 435% in total. However, higher amounts can be agreed in exceptional circumstances. So now that we know how the IMF operates, let's have a look at Sri Lanka's status within the IMF. Sri Lanka joined the IMF in August 1950, and its quota is 579 million US dollars. Since joining the IMF, Sri Lanka has obtained loans on 16 different occasions from the IMF and currently has loans outstanding of $892 million. The proposed bailout loan that Sri Lanka has requested from the IMF is $3 billion, which equates to around 5.2 times Sri Lanka's quota with the IMF, which is obviously more than the 4.35 times standard rules for borrowing. However, the situation that Sri Lanka's in certainly justifies exceptional circumstances. Sri Lanka is looking to borrow $3 billion under what's known as the extended fund facility that the IMF offers to current borrowers. And in order to comply with the terms of this facility, Sri Lanka will need to bring in some structural changes, which shows that it is putting its economy back on track and that it's got the building blocks to be able to work its way out of this dire situation. If you've been following the channel, you'll know that Sri Lanka has around $50 billion of external debt, and it recently defaulted on that debt for the first time in its history. So that's not really a great starting point when you're trying to negotiate new borrowing facilities. However, the IMF facility is a bailout situation, so they will understand that Sri Lanka have been unable to make those payments. And in terms of a concession and showing that they have intent to sort out the situation, Sri Lanka has appointed Lazards, the investment bank, to negotiate a restructuring proposal with the bondholders on its behalf. On the flip side of that conversation, the bondholders have appointed Rothschilds to represent them, and so the wheels are now in motion with regards to putting something in place to extend all of the existing debt. In addition to starting the restructuring negotiations, Sri Lanka have also made some tax reforms. The government have announced an immediate increase in VAT from 8% to 12%, which is expected to boost government revenues by 65 billion Sri Lankan rupees, which is the equivalent of around $180 million. And it's also announced an increase in corporate income tax from 24% to 30% from October 2022, which is forecast to bring in an additional 52 billion rupees. Withholding tax on employment income has been made mandatory, and exemptions for individual taxpayers have been reduced. The new Prime Minister is due to announce his budget within the next couple of weeks, and has stated that he will cut expenditure down to the bone and reroute funds into a two-year relief programme. So the tax reforms that have been introduced are firstly aimed at trying to increase the amount of revenue that the government is taking in, and secondly, making sure that the IMF and other funding parties are happy that the government is now back on track and is doing things the right way so that it can get back onto an even keel. We've now seen the latest inflation figures for May in Sri Lanka, and they don't make for good reading. This chart shows that the rate of inflation for the last 12 months is now up above 39%. But if we look at this graph, the real cause for concern here is the rate of increase in inflation. We have got essentially a vertical line here. So inflation is taking off. It's out of control. And at the same time as this very high rate of inflation, we've also seen a massive fall in the value of the Sri Lankan rupee. We've seen more than a 40% fall in the currency value. So when you combine those two factors, it means that everything is becoming more expensive and less affordable in Sri Lanka. And on that point of affordability, food inflation over the last 12 months has increased by 57%. And given the situation of the country right now, it's highly likely that the actual rates of inflation are running at significantly higher levels than these official figures. As I mentioned at the start of the video, Sri Lanka is an island and therefore has to import a lot of different products that it doesn't manufacture. And one of the key groups of products that it has to import are medicines and medical equipment. And Sri Lanka is now running dangerously low on all items. Sri Lanka imports more than 80% of its medical supplies, and almost 200 medical items are now in shortage, including 76 essential life-saving drugs, from blood thinners for heart attack and stroke patients to antibiotics, rabies vaccines and cancer chemotherapy drugs. Essential surgical equipment and anesthesia is running out so fast that the decision was made this week for only emergency surgeries, mostly heart and cancer patients, to go ahead. All routine surgeries, anything from hernias to a swollen appendix, have been put on hold. Some government hospitals have been instructed to only admit emergency patients. One doctor in Colombo was quoted as saying, "Ultimately, people are going to die." Cancer drugs, which are notoriously expensive to import, have been particularly badly hit by shortages in recent weeks, and the responsibility to source them has fallen on the heads of oncologists themselves. They've been putting out global appeals for donations and writing letters to private supporters, organisations and governments to ensure cancer treatments are not delayed. Another doctor was quoted as saying, "One of the drugs we give patients undergoing chemotherapy, which boosts their blood count so they aren't liable to serious infections, is not available anymore. So far, we managed to get donations of 80,000 vials, but that will not last very long. We've had to postpone some chemotherapy, which may have detrimental effects on the cancer outcome." Fuel supplies remain critically low on the island. I recently posted a video talking about the fact that Russia had agreed to provide credit to Sri Lanka. It had given a tanker load of oil to the refinery, which had been closed since March. That refinery is now reopened. However, it's encountered difficulties restarting, and there's been a two-day delay in getting everything up and operational. So they do have some oil on the island, but they're still refining and processing it. So there is still an outright shortage, and most people can't find any oil or kerosene to be able to use in their vehicles or their homes. There's also a critical shortage of food, and the Sri Lankan authorities have now asked all farmers to plant more rice immediately. The agriculture minister held a press conference where he stated, "It is clear the food situation is becoming worse. We request all farmers to step into their fields in the next 5 to 10 days and cultivate paddy." Talks are currently underway with India to procure 65,000 tonnes of fertiliser, and appeals have been made to 7 other countries. However, an agriculture professor at one of the Sri Lankan universities said that some areas will lose more than 50% of the paddy yield even if action is taken. "Even if we bring in fertilizer today, it will be too late to have a good harvest," he said. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, as we've discussed in previous videos, Sri Lanka is now at breaking point. It is completely bankrupt. It's out of cash and it's out of options. The only thing that's left available to Sri Lanka now is to ask other countries to be able to help it out. So India and China have been doing that over the last couple of months, and Russia recently came onto the scene and provided some oil, and potentially Russia may also be providing some wheat and other food materials. And this looks like more of a political play by Russia. It's looking to get itself closer to Sri Lanka with a view to developing new relationships going forward. But that's not really going to solve Sri Lanka's problem. What it needs is some hard cash to be able to start buying things in itself and taking control of its own destiny. And so it's asked the IMF for a bailout of $3 billion. Now, as we discussed earlier in the video, $3 billion is actually more than Sri Lanka's quota under the IMF rules. However, there are exceptional circumstances here, and I think it's likely that the IMF will agree to this increased amount. However, they do need to see serious reform being put in place before they'll release any of the monies. Now, Sri Lanka have made some steps towards that. They've appointed Lazards to renegotiate all of their existing debt, and they've also made some tax changes and made a lot of statements about making more reforms in the upcoming budget. So I think the new government structure will do things that will tick all of the IMF's boxes. But the problem that Sri Lanka has in the short term is that this is going to take 2 or 3 or 4 months to be able to play out, because the IMF have certain rules and they'll need certain documentation. So it's not a quick process. They're not going to give Sri Lanka $500 million or $1 billion overnight just to keep them ticking over. So in the short term, Sri Lanka really need to reach out further to India, China, and maybe even Russia. So they could enable Sri Lanka to keep its head above water in the short term. But the big question here is, what will be the cost of that help for Sri Lanka? They've already handed over some of their existing land to China. Hambantota Port has a 99-year lease. And Colombo Port City, 43% of that new development is also on a 99-year lease to the Chinese. And it's likely going forward that we may well hear about more of those deals. We may hear that India has secured some rights, or Russia has agreed a deal with regards to the commodities that it's providing Sri Lanka with right now. So it's a really unstable time for Sri Lanka. They are desperate. They need some money really quickly. They need food. They need fuel. They need all the basics that everybody wants to continue living. And there are a number of protests that are planned over the course of the next couple of weeks. We've already seen some of these protests turn violent over recent weeks. 9 people died and 300 people were injured in recent protests. So Sri Lanka really need to get things back on an even keel before everything disintegrates into civil unrest. In terms of what's the impact of all of this on the global economy, well, as I've mentioned in previous videos, somebody has to pick up the bill whenever there's a bailout. And ultimately, that will be the other members of the IMF. And realistically, it'll be the richer nations of the world who will have to pick up the lion's share of these costs going forward. So that further adds to the global debt burden and increases the likelihood of a global recession kicking in at some point over the next 6 to 12 months. So I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments with regards to Sri Lanka. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Hey guys, just a quick reminder about Joe Blogs 2. It's still here, it's still monetized, it's still ready to go. I know it's tricky making these videos. I know it's a challenge. I know it can be daunting. I've been there. You make a video, you watch it back, you think, not good enough, I'm not going to let anybody see that. It's a difficult process. But as with any form of creation, you need to get bold, you need to have a go, and then you need to be able to release it at some point and let other people see it. So if you're in that process right now, stick with it, keep going. Keep working on it. Make your video as good as it can be. Make it as professional as possible. Try to get the sound levels to be good. Try to get the pictures to be good. Any images that you're using, make sure they're high quality. But at some point, you're going to have to say, okay, I'm ready. I'm going to share this with the world. Contact me. I'll get your video up onto the channel and let's see what happens. So thanks for watching this particular part of the video, and thanks for watching this whole video all the way through to the end. Really appreciate it.